The Suncoast Culture Club podcast is proudly sponsored by the State College of Florida Foundation, dedicated to providing lifelong education to artists, actors, musicians, and dancers in the Suncoast region. Hi, this is Robin Bell, Director of Instrumental Studies at the State College of Florida, and this is the Suncoast Culture Club podcast. Welcome to the club. The Suncoast Culture Club podcast is your weekly dose of what's happening in the performing and visual arts this week on Florida Suncoast, including interviews, reviews, discussions, behind-the-scene tidbits, and insider trading. Join State College of Florida Arts faculty and staff members as they bring you all the arts happenings on the Suncoast, from music to dance to art to theater. Come along and join our club. Get ready, folks. The SCF Music Program is about to bring you a holiday concert like no other. Literally, a holiday concert during COVID like no other. On Thursday, December 3rd at 7:30, the SCF Music Program presents Joy to the World, a concert featuring the SCF Jazz Combo and Big Band, the Guitar Ensemble, the Chamber and Concert Choirs, and the Bradenton Symphony Orchestra. You can watch it on the SCF Music Facebook page as a live stream and enjoy it from the coziness of your living room, perhaps in front of your fireplace with some eggnog. Here to tell you all about it are my partners in crime on this concert, Dr. Pete Carney, Jazz Band Director, Rex Willis, Director of Guitar Ensemble, and Melody Dickerson, Director of Concert and Chamber Choirs. Welcome to the club, friends.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. Thanks for having
us. Pete, how have things been going with the jazz band since last we heard them in October?
Things are going great. We've got a great group this year. We got a lot of talent. We've got a great singer, Naima Barak, who a lot of people know won the state competition last year for the jazz category with the help of Miss Dickerson, her amazing teacher. So we're excited to hear her sing. We're doing a lot of good holiday music this time. The band's really gotten better in the last couple months. We started this year as a really green group, and I think this year we've really grown into a mature jazz group.
I have a question that I'd like to ask Dr. Carney. You have been rehearsing outside pretty much every day.
That's right.
In the gazebo. And I'm just curious, since I don't get to hear you so much rehearsing this year, what has that been like?
Well, you're the only person that hasn't heard us out there.
Well, I just am not out there during that time.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people that have walked by that you never get to see in campus. So that's been one of the fun things. I've heard that people in the science building open their windows when we have rehearsal and they've been listening to us.
Better than closing their windows when you're playing.
That's right. That's right.
So in a way, you're always kind of have to be ready for performance because you never know who's walking by.
Yeah, there's two cool benefits. One, you're playing outside, so you kind of create a bigger sound. The room doesn't help you. You know, you can hear all your mistakes really well. And two is there's just people walking by constantly. So it's sort of like, you know, when I was younger, I played on the street as a kid. And that was fun because you get used to people sort of not listening and it becomes less intimidating to play for people. I think it's great for stage presence to have people walking by, kind of paying attention and moving on.
Now, I know there's not a ton of gigging going on right now, as there usually is, but you had a real unique experience with some of our students at the Clearwater Jazz Festival recently, right?
That's right. I hired Henley Connor, our drummer, and Naima Brock, and one of our former students, Isaac Mingus, and we played at the It was a gig for me as a professional at the Clearwater Jazz Festival, and I hired those guys as professionals, and they just killed it. They were just phenomenal. The audience went nuts for Naima's voice and all the energy and Henley and Isaac brought. So it's incredible as a teacher to get them to the level where you would really hire them, not just for fun, but really hire them as professionals.
And how did the Clearwater Jazz Festival have all that set up in COVID times?
Yeah, they have an interesting setup. They sold you basically a beach chair, like lounger that you kind of laid back on in groups of two or four. And you got a free appetizer with that. And it was all spread out about, you know, 10 feet from each group at least. And it was right on the water. It's a cool idea. I think there's a lot of potential in the way that they managed to do a great outdoor concert in a way that a lot of people felt safe, and there was like dolphins swimming by. And it was neat because after we finished playing, I enjoyed listening to the other bands and like, oh, I get to sit down and listen to music rather than stand at a festival, you know, and to be outside and hear music. Usually you end up, you know, standing or walking between bands and checking out a bunch of stuff, but it was neat to listen. And as a performer, I felt like you can play some different music when people are sitting because they're more relaxed, you know, they're not as sort of impatient. When you play for audiences that are just standing up, you have to keep them from going to get a funnel cake or something.
Yeah. Right. And so most jazz festivals, people stand. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just thinking of a lot of outdoor festivals, the traditional, you know, city festivals in the summertime or the spring. You end up kind of walking around and going to see a couple different stages. But it's neat that they had chairs, and you had your chair. If you wanted to order some food, you put up a little flag on your chair, and the waiter came to your beach cabana and brought you something. And
just like at the Ritz.
Yeah, that's
it was pretty fancy.
Old school, you know, though, the way they used to do it in supper clubs, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like an outdoor supper club, in a sense. A little bit formal, because you weren't allowed to walk around and mingle that much. But you still had like nice bar and food service.
Well, that's a great experience for our students too, and our alumni and you. So thank you for bringing them that opportunity. Absolutely. Now, on our December 3rd Joy to the World concert, what are your jazz groups going to be performing?
Sure. We're doing a couple of my tunes. I wrote a couple holiday things. The first one's kind of fun. It's called Penguin Skating. So
it does sound fun. There.
And the second one, the combo's playing a tune called Sunshine Christmas Blues, and it's a real like heartfelt tune, very like about the feeling of being home and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and like the real Christmas feeling that we miss every year, you know what I mean? Not the stuff, not the Black Friday stuff, but the real like family type thing. So it's kind of a gospel tune, and it's very slow and kind of just reflective. And the big band after that is doing Glenn Miller's version of Jingle Bells, which is a really great arrangement. He kind of quotes in the mood, and he quotes sing, sing, sing in there. And so he kind of quotes like different parts of jazz history. And it's one of the best Jingle Bell arrangements ever to me. And we're doing,
I'm looking forward to hearing
Duke Ellington's version of the Nutcracker, the Dan Sugar Plum Fairies. And it's going to feature our new baritone player, Evan. And it's a great little twist on the usual Nutcracker.
Yes, Dr. Carney, I have that on a recording. It is one of my favorite things to play every holiday.
It's like bluesy, churchy Nutcracker.
Yeah. So, Rex, you've had an interesting 2 months since we had our last podcast episode. You conducted the Pitt Orchestra for the musical Children of Eden, and you've been teaching up a storm. As a matter of fact, you were telling me the other day about a great composition one of your composition students was working on. Tell us, in working with students one-on-one like that, like on compositions, what makes one of their pieces really stand out to you?
Teaching composition, first of all, is a very unique experience because it's a mixture of their emotions that are driving them to write the music, and then also the music theory side of it. And we're always trying to balance that back and forth. How much theory are you using? And yet, how much are you just letting your emotions drive the music and trying to balance that? In fact, in just recent compositions, this has come up. And teaching composition is a mixture of letting them do what they want to do, which is really the whole idea, and then letting them know some other ideas, like, for instance, helping them get out of the comfort zone, out of the box, suggesting things without giving too many details. It's kind of hard to do, but it might be something like, do you think that this idea went on long enough? Do you want to extend this? Or was this transition convincing enough? Without telling them what to do, just suggesting ideas. So just in a composition lesson yesterday, sometimes the emotions come out. One of my students was talking about writing music for a very close relative of theirs, and the emotions were coming out about, well, you know, I love this person, and writing the music for them was a very emotional experience, and the person that they were talking about absolutely loved it. And so it's not just always music theory and talking about dominant chords and first inversion triads, but sometimes it gets very personal. And I shared an experience with him where I wrote music for a relative of mine as well. So writing compositions for these young folks that are 18, 19 year old, helps them use the theory that they're learning in the theory classes, and it opens up a whole nother world of conversations.
It's interesting because here at the State College of Florida, we teach freshman and sophomore level students ages 18 to 20, maybe sometimes 21, and they haven't all had that same lifelong emotional experiences yet. And so I'm sure it is really a balance between taking the academics of putting music together structurally correctly and their emotional input into it.
You know, oh, very much so. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they'll experience the music in one way, and I'll suggest that, well, you know, don't just listen to the computer play it. Shut the computer off, close your eyes, and imagine that the performers are coming on stage, and try to imagine that somebody else wrote the music. And a way to do that, I've been doing this my whole life, is you write however much music, 12, 16, 24 bars, and then take 2 or 3 days and don't think about it. Come back to it. Imagine somebody you don't even know on a stage you've never seen is coming out to do the music, and try to experience it for the first time. And it helps them realize, oh, this is where I need to go with this. Because roadblocks, I mean, you get these moments where I don't know where to go on. And one of the hardest things to do, it's not starting a composition, it's not even continuing it. How do you end the piece? And this is one of the ways that you do it. You imagine these performers coming up on stage to do it, and then all of a sudden, wow, it's like they just performed it on stage, and you quickly jot down your ideas. So that's one aspect of it, too.
Yeah, I've conducted many pieces where I wish the composer had ended the piece a little sooner.
Well, you know, the whole symmetry and proportion.
That's important. And we don't realize that, you know, one of the great things about being a musician, one of the odd things is music is art through time, right? The world has to be spinning. The clock has to be ticking. Yeah. But when you're performing music or listening to music, you have no concept of how much time. You couldn't know if that's a 5-minute piece or a 15-minute piece. And you're like, whoa. To me, that's always been a real anomaly about music. So the guitar ensemble has been preparing for our Joy to the World concert as well. What should we expect to hear from them?
Well, we're going to play a Concerto Grosso transcription, a piece by Corelli, early to middle Baroque composer, born probably about 30 years, I think, before Bach. And what I love about this early and middle Baroque orchestra music, it's very pure. It's simpler than Bach. It doesn't have all the harmonic complexities. So it's very listenable. Lots of short little tunes that are sequenced. It's just absolutely delightful music.
And was it originally written for guitars?
It's funny because if somebody heard this music and had no idea of the original music, they might think, oh, this was written for a guitar ensemble. Of course, it was written for a small string orchestra. And it transfers so well to guitar quintet that it sounds as though it could have been written for us. In fact, it was funny. One of the students came by yesterday and they were walking by, and curiously enough, they thought maybe a piano or some kind of keyboard instrument was playing. Put their head in the door and saw it was the guitar ensemble. My statement about that is that when you combine multiple guitars, especially classical guitars, is that you create new sounds and new timbres that really don't necessarily always sound like guitars. We're also doing an arrangement of Angels We Have Heard on High by one of our guitar ensemble members, Jan Weissmuller. And what's interesting is he didn't just take this original French tune and do it as is. It kind of starts out that way. It's a variation, though. He creates so many new sounds with it, new harmonies, new rhythms, creates inner voices, chromatically moving voices, that sometimes arrangers turn traditional tunes into like a new composition. And then when Dr. Carney mentioned Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, we talked a little while ago about how, you know, normally we wouldn't want to program the same piece on the same program, but the jazz band version of it compared to what we're going to do is actually going to be very interesting for people to hear, because the transcription we're doing of Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy and the Russian Dance from the Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky follows the original score so well, and I'm going to repeat myself, it sounds like it could have been written for a guitar ensemble or a guitar quartet. It's really amazing how well, in fact, what the transcriber did on the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, he emulates the sound of the celeste by having the guitars do harmonics, those bell-like tones. So you get that dun, 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 dun. It's amazing. So it'll be interesting to hear what we're doing, which really sounds just like the original, along with Pete's version of it.
Well, and please don't feel bad, guys. The concert's called Joy to the World, so the orchestra is actually playing three different versions of Joy to the World. So, yeah, don't worry. We're going to repeat lots of music here, but they're all, like you said, they're all so different. It will sound new to the audience.
Beautiful.
I think, yeah.
Looking forward to hearing all of this. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be really fun. And Melody, first of all, congratulations on being named department chair for the new Department of Performing Arts here at SCF. Tell us about this new department at the college.
Well, this is an exciting time for us here at SCF, and particularly for me since I've been here 17 years. Wow, I can't believe I'm saying that. But we are taking the music and theater programs and putting them together to combine one department called the Performing Arts Department. And I think it's going to be a real game changer. We're going to have more leverage in the college and more opportunities to collaborate. Also, this goes right along with the fact that we'll be opening for next fall our Studio of Performing Arts, our brand new addition to the music building.
Yeah, 150-seat recital hall.
Yes, and Fantastic. Just gorgeous new facilities, and we'll have two dedicated rehearsal halls as well as that recital hall and more practice rooms and all different sorts of things. So it's very exciting and humbling, and I feel excited but grateful to have this opportunity to kind of bring my two loves of music and theater together.
Yeah, it's really going to be neat for us to be our own department with the theater program. We're all in one building, and it just makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of synergy between the two, and it was a lot of foresight by the college to do that.
Yes. So, in fact, we had a synergistic event today. We had a former student, Kevin Rose, that came and did a master class, and he took composition here. He was in the choirs. He took voice lessons with me. He did musical theater. He did opera. He played the piano. He did his own thing. And throughout his 15-year career since that time, he's integrated all of these things. So we feel like we have phenomenal alumni that have come out of this program. And Pete's using Isaac, who was one of our stars here. And I think this is just going to provide more opportunities for all of us to work together.
Now, speaking of work together, like Rex, you are fresh off of the musical. What an enormous undertaking that has been for all of you, especially during COVID. And it's really still not over. There's a lot of post-performance things still to do. But the concert choir and the chamber choir are rehearsing for Joy to the World. And always my thrill of every year is when the choir and the orchestra team together for several pieces. But tell us what holiday selections the concert choir and the chamber choir will be performing.
Well, I just want to say that first, when we planned this title of Joy to the World, this was before we had planned COVID.
That's right. It was last February.
Last February, just wow. Maybe a month before we found out. And thinking of the title of the program, most people would say, well, really, what is there to be joyful about? There's not much joy in the world today. But I myself have found this semester to be one of the most joyful I have had in my time here at SCF.
It's been humbling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's because the students that have been here have chosen to be here.
Right.
They've wanted to be here. They have overcome all odds. They have worked really hard. My students have had to sing with singing masks. Yours have had to play with all sorts of PPE mm-hmm. on them. And every day not knowing, will we have a COVID exposure? Will something happen? Will we not be able to be in class? And I think all of us have been very humbled by, as Pete said, what we've had this semester.
Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about this particular concert is we've never had the jazz band on it. And so when able to incorporate them on this kind of grand finale for the semester, I think that's going to add a lot. I think that's just really neat that it's going to be everybody, jazz band, guitar ensemble, the choirs, and then the orchestra. The first concert we did, it was the band, but this concert, it's the orchestra. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But what's the choir?
Well,
what are you guys going to be singing?
I really took upon the theme of joy. And most of our songs have the word joy or embody the word joy. And the first is Wild by My Sheep. I watched at night, glad tidings brought, an angel bright, how great my joy, which is from the 15th century.
Oh, well.
So you're bringing the joy along with that from that same era. We're doing Omanu Mysterium, Tomas Luis Victoria's arrangement, which is just gorgeous. It is in Latin. It doesn't say the word joy in that way, but it is talking about the joy, the alleluia of the Christ child being born in the earth. We're also doing a perennial a cappella favorite. It might be one of the most favorite requested songs ever in the holiday season, and that is Carol of the Bells. We all love that. And
you know, and it's harder to perform than people might think. Even if we've heard it all our life, it's a hard piece.
Oh, it is a very hard piece. In fact, we were rehearsing it today and spread out all over the room. But it is one of those pieces that everyone loves to sing and loves to hear. And then the other a cappella piece is a contemporary arrangement of Go Tell It on the Mountain, and that will be done by Chamber Choir, and it is a fantastic arrangement. And with some of these pieces, I've let student conductors, and Sylvia Hernandez, who also plays in the orchestra, she's been our student conductor for that. Fred Brown has been Omanu Mysterium. And for the last song Chamber Choir is doing is In Dulci Jubilo, and this is a Bach arrangement of Praetorius's original 15th century song, and it's just wonderful timing on that, putting all those a cappella pieces together. And that was another thing in the COVID time. Sometimes it's easier to be separated and sing a cappella and try to get those sorts of things. And then the concert choir is also singing two of my favorite songs, and one is, you might not think joy in that way, but Do You Hear What I Hear? Because not only is it about joy, but it's about the search for peace. Pray for peace, people everywhere. And I think while having joy, we're all hoping for peace in our lives, in our country, in the world. So Do You Hear What I Hear? And then we close it out from Sister Act, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And you know, Pete, how we love the gospel sound.
That's right.
And these kids are really kicking it up.
Is there a tambourine on that one?
No, we are not using a tambourine. I guess we could throw it in. But we've got a lot of students who are singing small little solos in that, and we finished up our auditions for that today. And then, of course, the pieces that we're doing with the orchestra.
Right. So the Bradenton Symphony Orchestra and the choirs are combining for a really neat arrangement, I think, of Joy to the World by a composer named Pink Zebra. And I was talking with Pete about this earlier. I said, have you ever heard of Pink Zebra? Pete, what did you respond?
Yeah, the kids keep telling me about him.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go and Google Pink Zebra, it's one word. It is a pseudonym for someone who claims he is a very famous composer, published
film scores.
And yes, like it could be, I don't know, John Williams or Howard Shore or whatever, but is publishing music under this name, Pink Zebra. And I've noticed towards doing this podcast, I search for podcast music, and there's a lot of Pink Zebra stuff on there. So he, whoever he is completely anonymous. There's no photos. It's a Pink Zebra on his website, but it's probably one of my favorite pieces, certainly that we're playing, but maybe in the last decade of holiday music I've ever done. It's really cool.
And the choir students absolutely love it. Just love it. It's kind of pop and kind of traditional and kind of contemporary. It's very, very unique arrangement.
Come on, Pete. Come clean. Is that you?
Is it no, you?
Is that you?
Maybe it's you, Rex.
Yeah, I have that secret bank account.
Or maybe.
You know, one of the things I don't think we are doing is the actual Joy to the World.
Well, that is Joy to the World. It is.
No, but I mean like the original.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of joys, but we're not doing the original Joy to the World, right?
But it is the original. It's just
yes,
an arrangement.
It's an arrangement just in a pop style kind of.
Right. It's not the Hendelian arrangement.
We can sing it right now.
No, I can't. I haven't worn my vocal cords up,
okay.
Willis. And then the other piece that we're performing together is a beautiful arrangement by Mary MacDonald called Let There Be Peace on Earth. I call it To Heaven in Half Steps because every 8 or 12 bars, it modulates up a half step, you know, and eventually we're going to get there. And the kids laugh. But that's been the tricky part for us with the string players and the wind players is because it changes key so often.
And when I first looked at it, I was like, this is not that difficult a vocal arrangement. And then as we worked on it, I was like, this is a difficult vocal arrangement.
It's kind of Let There Be Peace on Earth mashed with You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yes,
I don't know if you've
that
picked
style.
Yeah, it is that style. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to say, too, I'm just going to put a personal thing here. It's a very special song to me.
Oh.
You might not know this, but it was the first solo I ever had in sixth grade in the sixth grade talent show.
Oh.
It was Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Did you win?
I don't think we had, maybe it wasn't a talent show. It's just like where you get up, everybody in sixth grade, it was the kind of the end of the year and you could pick a song to sing or play.
Isn't that funny how we connect with music like that was important to us as a young child? I certainly have those things that you hear something on the radio or if you're walking in the mall and you're like, oh, and it just, music just takes you back.
You know, and it connects me with my mom too, because it was one of her absolute favorite songs. And I remember her doing it with her choirs and she always had that thought of like, if the world could just be together. And one of her things was if we could all play and sing music together, we'd be in a much better place.
We would, we'd have more joy in the world. We would. Well, some of the other pieces the orchestra is doing, we're doing a variations on Joy to the World. This is a really neat arrangement because it really is a lot of variations. There's one that sounds just like Vivaldi. There's one just all pizzicato, the strings. And so it takes us through all kinds of different versions of Joy to the World. It's really fun, kind of features the bassoons at some point. We're doing We Need a Little Christmas, because we do. And that's just a fun, upbeat, Need a Little Christmas. Right.
From MAME.
Yeah, from MAME. There you go. Sure. Good. And also, we want everyone to have themselves a Merry Little Christmas. So we're doing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Now, Pete, we're doing a medley that I think you're going to really like. It's a medley of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Sleigh Ride, and The Little Drummer Boy. But Sleigh Ride is in bossa nova style.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
It's like a Caribbean sleigh ride?
Yes. Yes, if you can imagine. We had to practice not swinging. It's really neat because we have Sleigh Ride in our head, and you think about the whip snap and the jingle bells, but this is the melody, awesome. But it's a bossa nova, so I enjoy that. And then the final selection, we're doing kind of as an encore, but I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody about it. And hopefully this will include everybody, the choir, the orchestra, the guitar, and the jazz band, is when I think Joy to the World, I do hear the joy, but I also hear Jeremiah was a bullfrog singing joy to the world. Nobody tunes into this podcast to hear me sing, but I said,
they will now.
I know. I said, we got to do an arrangement of this. And so we have a horn player in the orchestra. He's a junior at Eastman, but he's home for the semester because of COVID, and he does arranging. And I said, Connor, can you arrange Jeremiah was a bullfrog for the orchestra and the choir to sing together? And he did. And so that'll be our big grand finale, is Joy to the World / Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Or Three Dog Night. Let's
Three
bring
Dog
it.
Night.
Good
yes.
Stuff. Can't beat it.
That's Mr. Willis and I. That's our generation.
Our era. Yes.
Well, and I was surprised. Now, you know, the Bradenton Symphony Orchestra is a mixture of college students and adults. And when I said, who knows this song? And every student's hand stayed down. They did not know this song at all.
No kidding.
No kidding. Of course, all the adults start singing, you know. Then the kids were like, what are you? Stop singing. But yeah, it was. I think it's going to be an exciting way to end with everybody out there singing. Now, no audience members for this one. This is a live stream only.
And I will say, too, I have found it's been a challenge since the Fall Festival. We have 1 week less to rehearse. We've had Veterans Day, and then we had the extra day with the weather. We have Thanksgiving next week. And we ourselves are doing more music in the choral program than we did last time. I'm sure you all are, too.
Yeah,
so it's been challenging to get everybody together and make it happen. But who does not love the holidays? And who does not love listening to joyful and fun and happy music?
Maybe when the holidays are over, I'm ready to shelve the Christmas music. But this time of year, I'm ready to bring it back out. So,
absolutely.
And we've actually been rehearsing with the Bradenton Symphony since the third week of October. So I think we win the prize for getting the Christmas music out before anybody else.
There you go.
if there's a prize involved. Yeah. Okay, my friends, I have some rapid fire questions for us today.
Here we go.
Here we go. Rex, you are first.
Oh, no.
Santana or Eddie Van Halen?
Santana.
Okay. Poor Eddie. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Melody, your morning coffee or your evening wine?
You've asked me that before.
That's
and
an
I'm
easy
telling
one.
You, no, it's a tie, but I'm going to give the edge to the wine.
Because Jeremiah was a bullfrog. And we drank wine together.
Yes, he did.
You know it.
And who is Jeremiah and who is a bullfrog? That's what I always wanted to know. I didn't care.
Pete, swing or bossa nova?
Oh, I would take swing all day.
Samba or bebop?
Bebop.
Charlie Parker or Kenny G?
Oh, that's not even a question. Come on.
Don't even.
Charlie, the bird.
Yes.
All right, Rex, Christmas or your birthday?
Oh. Christmas and my birthday.
They're only a week apart.
They are only a week apart. That's why I asked. So
it's
tough, right, having a Christmas and your birthday right against each other. I'm sure growing up, it was like.
Mom was always generous. She always made sure I had a birthday party with plenty of gifts. So I grew up reasonably normal, I think.
That's nice.
Reasonably.
Melody, turkey and dressing or a Christmas ham?
Turkey and dressing all the way. I like to cook my own turkey and make my own dressing, actually.
Yeah. Yes. My family, growing up, it was Cornish game hens and wild rice stuffing. Mm. So everybody got their own little hen.
Oh, their own little.
Mm-hmm. So your plate was like a little baby hen.
Cool.
Okay, Pete, pecan pie or pumpkin pie?
Oh, pumpkin pie was my name as a child. Ask my mom about that one. Don't tell the students, though.
It's good.
Rex, Santa or Rudolph?
Rudolph.
But Santa brings the presents, Rex.
But Rudolph is just, you know,
Rudolph
more interesting.
Flies.
He's got that nose that glows.
And he flies.
Know? And he flies.
I always want to fly.
That's right.
I'm really interested in this next answer, Melody. Christmas Day with your kids at 8 years old or at 28 years old?
I'm going to say at 8.
Oh,
it's really fun sweet. With their little kids, right?
Because I'd like to have those days back.
Yeah, yeah.
However, being a mom with 28, 29-year-old kids, it's a different thing to have them as friends in
right.
a different way.
As adults,
yes.
Yeah.
Although I won't be spending time with either of them this year. One is in Washington State and the other's in New York City. But that's okay. We have FaceTime now.
That's right. You didn't have FaceTime 20 years ago.
Yeah, we can do true. Zooms.
Pete.
Yep.
Christmas in Florida or Christmas in Chicago?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the week before Christmas in Chicago.
Because of the Midwest Conference.
Yeah, the conference and the lights. And...
Yeah. Chicago is beautiful at Christmas. Oh, yeah. The Magnificent Mile. They really decorated and snow. And it's a really cool town at Christmas.
Yeah, same thing with New York. Just love to be there that week before.
Yeah, but not the day of.
Not the day.
Correct.
Okay, this is to all of you. To attend a concert in person or to attend a concert online? Melody?
Well, in person.
Rex?
Gotta be there.
Pete?
I would agree, except that there's also some cool stuff you can see that you would never see that we get to do online now. You know what I mean? Like
yes,
concerts agreed. From around the world. But yeah, in person, you can't beat live music.
I just want to say one thing, and congratulations to you, Dr. Bell, on a fantastic concert last night, the Calling All Veterans concert with
you.
The symphonic band. It was really one of the best concerts I've heard, and the music selections were fantastic. We had theater students that did the readings. But what I have really enjoyed for two concerts here is to monitor the Facebook live feed. And as people make comments, then I comment as SCF Music, or people are asking, or how do I get on, or where do I get the app, or how can I see the program? And they make shout outs to people and say how much they love the music. Some guy said, I'm watching from Springfield, Illinois, Abraham Lincoln's hometown. And he said, it means so much to me to hear the Lincoln portrait.
Yeah, that was cool. I read that comment last night when I got home.
Fantastic. So it has opened up, as Pete said, a way for people to hear our music and for us to hear concerts and things that we would never have the chance to hear and see.
Well, my parents, they're in their 80s and 90s and traveling is a problem, and they watched the musical. They got to see Children of Eden. And so the technology has its pluses.
It does. Sure. It does. I was talking with Lamus of the Sarasota Contemporary Dance, and we were talking about how with the camera angles, if you're going to watch their performance at home, they have a camera up top. So you can see from the top of the stage what's going on. It's really a completely different way to see dance and ballet and stuff. So it does. I agree, Pete. There are positives and negatives. As a performer performing on stage, I prefer playing to a live audience, a crowd, right? But as an audience member, I could either be there or be at home and enjoy it. But what's missing for me is the audience reaction live.
Yeah. I think you watch football and baseball right now. It's on TV, but it's not the same, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's something about walking out on that stage and you don't just see them, you feel it.
There's an energy.
Miss that.
It's two different things. It's the live energy, and as performers, we're giving and we're receiving, and it's that two-way street. But when you do film work or camera work, it's the energy with the camera, and it's really more dependent upon the performer to find that and to feed that right towards the camera. And so in some ways, I think it gives a different opportunity for students and for us to be able to step up that energy and focus it so well that you're able to address people on camera and not be kind of flailing all over the place. It's
right.
It's a very different thing.
Yeah, and I can imagine different, like when I think about live theater and performers on stage for a live audience versus someone doing a film when there's no audience there and you're doing take after take and they put together this final product that then people enjoy in a theater that you're not getting it. So to me, I guess we have to adjust to that kind of thing for certain. Now, as this semester is coming to a close, I'd like for us to take a minute to reflect on our experiences at the college in the music program and some things that we're grateful for. I'm going to go ahead and start. I've told 1,000 people this, but I'm grateful to have a job. All the people that we know in the performing arts that have been COVID surplused, that here at the college, we have students that are still eager to make music and to learn music, and we are still imparting all of that onto the students. I'm grateful that in this state of Florida, we've had beautiful weather. We had one little storm, but this semester, weather-wise, I know Pete rehearsing outside, you've had very little interruptions in that. It's been great. And I'm grateful for all of us, our staff that has worked together from our secretary all the way to the Neil Performing Arts crew and all of the faculty and staff that have come together for this. And I'm also really, really grateful for the past 8 months to not have had to wear lipstick or perfume. I think that's a big bonus.
I know Pete feels the same way.
Yes.
That's right. I know. That's right. Yeah. Right? I shave less for sure. I don't have to keep it with the mask on. You can keep it kind of gruffy if you want.
Peter, what are you grateful for?
Just, you know, to be with students this year, like we've mentioned before, but you get a chance to see people how they really are, you know, and I feel like everybody chips in and helps each other out, like from on the student level and the teacher level, and to have a school that's so supportive of our department and everything we want to do and giving us the flexibility to problem solve this whole year and figure out multiple ways that it can work. But especially just to be with students as they are, you know, I feel like they're more open to the situation, and it's brought out the best in them and brought out the best in us.
That's great. Rex, what are you grateful for?
You know, it was interesting. Rehearsal yesterday with Guitar Ensemble, I was talking to Jacob Wicks, and I said, well, you know, we want to beef things up here, and used to having 10, 12 people in Guitar Ensemble, and, you know, just having 4 or 5. And he said, you know, Mr. Willis, yes, we do need to beef it up, but one of the things that's really cool is it's made me work harder knowing I'm exposed. Nobody is playing my part. Nobody's playing my part. I have to be better. I'm practicing more. I care. I'm using a metronome more. And then along with that, having fewer students, you've mentioned the quality and doing the musical with fewer people, but such quality. What an amazing experience doing Children of Eden. The way that we came together, it was really honestly like a spiritual experience like I've never had before at the college. It was phenomenal. Musically, one of the hardest things we've ever done. Under perfect conditions, very difficult music, but a very incredible experience how we just came together and had to make it happen. I'm always going to remember this semester in a very special way, despite all we've had to go through.
And to your point, what Jacob Wicks was saying, the Guitar Ensemble, the students have really had to be independent. their independence of their parts. And same in the band, there were four trumpets and we have four trumpet parts. Always with jazz band, they're on individual parts, but it's, they have to own that individually and they've stepped it up.
They've absolutely done that.
Melody,
yes.
What have you been grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful for lots of things. I'm glad at this moment in my life to be living in Florida because of the gorgeous weather, as you said. But I am so grateful to work at State College of Florida among the people that we work with. Mm-hmm. Such talented faculty who jump in at the moment's notice to help each other out, to sit with the students, to talk people through issues and problems. And if we didn't have that, it would not make our jobs very much fun and not a place that you want to go to. And talking with many colleagues, as we all have, who are not doing this, all of their lessons, all of their ensembles, they're all through Zoom, they're all online, and being very grateful to the college for that. And just having a moment to figure out what's been really important this year. I feel like every day, sometimes this semester, you would never know it, because there have been little issues that have come up related to COVID or related to other illnesses or related to people having internet problems or just all the things that students have had to deal with and just finding out really what is important. And the important thing, I think we all know, is human interaction.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're craving it. We're missing it. And as musicians, that's what we do.
Right.
We can't do it without each other. We can even learn our solo pieces, but that does not bring us the joy because we're not sharing with others. So I'm grateful for the moments to figure out what's important. And on a side note, I'm grateful to know that we have had scientists and doctors and money involved in helping to find a vaccine for COVID. And I'm very happy to know in the last week we've made some headway on that.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be here sooner than later, I'm hoping.
And just grateful to all the people that have really gone very quickly to try to find this and to make this happen.
All things to be grateful for. And I think all of you will be grateful for the wonderful holiday music the SCF Music Program will bring to your home on Thursday, December 3rd at 7:30 p.m. We hope you support our musicians by tuning in and that it brings you an evening of smiles and joy. After all, we are all trying to bring joy to the world. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening to the Suncoast Culture Club podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram at Suncoast Culture Club. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That helps a lot. But most importantly, head over to our website, suncoastcultureclub.com. While there, you can send us a message requesting we cover a certain person, organization, or event. And then you can click the all-important Donate tab. All donations to the Suncoast Culture Club podcast go to the State College of Florida Foundation to help support the SCF Arts Education students and programs. Thank you for joining our club. We look forward to culturing with you next time. Stay well. This has been Robin Bell.